Good morning. This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of KUCI, its management, or the KUCI Board of Regents. You can access this show live or on a podcast by going to KUCI.org and look for the podcast button. Then just go down and look for Thursday morning at 8:30. That's when we have our show. This is the In the Garden Show, produced by the UC Master Gardeners of Orange County, and this is Sally Richards, your host for the hour. This morning we're going to be talking with Philip Rogers from Corona. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Sally.
Okay, you came and talked to the Master Gardeners, which is how I got to meet you, about Corona Tools, and can you tell me a little bit of background about Corona?
Sure. Corona Tools started in Corona, California. We will be celebrating our 90th anniversary next year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the company got started due to the orange groves and the oranges out in the Inland Empire. Mm-hmm. And the shop teacher at Corona High School had heard about a problem they were having with harvesting the oranges. The workers would go up their ladders to start harvesting the fruit, mm-hmm. and they would either pull the oranges off, or maybe they'd have scissors, and they'd cut the stem with the scissor, and they put it in their canvas bag. Mm-hmm. And then they'd get down off the ladder, and they'd put it into the box to head off to the packing house. Well, sometimes when they would pull the fruit, they might tear the skin. Or when they cut it, the stem that was left over might accidentally puncture the other fruit. And once the skin is punctured or torn, you need to eat the fruit, otherwise it's going to rot. So he heard about this issue, and he thought there's got to be a way to make a tool that will fit in the person's hand so that they can cut the fruit and cut the stem right at the button of the orange. And sure enough, he went to work. And he designed, I brought the tool with me, I know you can't see it on the radio, but we brought the tool. And basically, it almost looks like a wishbone, doesn't it?
Yeah, it kind of almost looks like nail clippers, but kind of slanty, yeah.
Yeah, so basically the tool was just the right size to fit into the palm of the hand of the worker. Mm-hmm. And there was a leather strap that they would use that they would tie off from one side to the other. And they'd slip their hand underneath it. And it would basically tie the tool to their hands, right?
Kind of like a glove, but you're holding the tool and it won't come out.
Exactly. It just became part of them. So now with this tool, the tool has a concave cutting blade. And now they could go up the ladder and with one hand hold the fruit. And with the other hand where their tool is, they take it and they just put it right down on top of the orange and they just snip that stem right off nice and clean.
And the blade actually would be the same shape as that little divot in the top of the orange. So
yes.
They could cut it right off.
Exactly. And it's just nice and smooth. And this little tool then really increased the productivity of the worker.
Oh, that. Well, and not only that, think about it, because after you get done, and if then they're going to have to go back over the fruit and see if there's any damage after it's picked.
Yes, exactly. So that really helped to increase the output of harvesting the oranges. So another thing that came about not too soon or not too much later was the icebox cart, right? So prior to the invention of an icebox car for the trains, the oranges that were harvested out in the Inland Empire, they could only get as far as the stagecoach could go in about 4 days, right?
We're talking a long time
ago. We are talking a long time ago. So the idea here was that with the icebox car, the fruit from California could now go all the way from Southern California to anywhere in the United States, all the way to the East Coast, because it was maintained in that icebox car. So that really helped California kind of experience the second gold rush with the oranges.
So that was their first product, Corona's first product, right? And they got the name because they are...
We're in Corona, California.
And, you know, I never realized that. I came from Michigan, so I just thought, okay, Corona, that's just the name of the product. But no, it's actually made right here in California. Yes. This is how it was developed.
That is.
That's terrific. So I want to talk a little bit about tools, and then we'll get into pruning. You were talking about the differences in how tools are made. And some of them are forged, and some of them are stamped. And this is something good for us to know as gardeners, because when we go to pick our tools out, one is better than another in certain types of situations. So can you tell me the difference between what's forged, what does forged mean, and what does stamped mean?
All right, I'll be happy to. So a forged tool, if you can think back to that high school teacher, right? Forging is a process where you take a piece of metal and you heat it up and soften it. And you literally take a hammer and you hammer it into the new shape that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So forging, and the way we do it is, steel rods are heated up, made soft, and then they're taken and they're placed into a die. And a hydraulic hammer will come down and it'll hit that. And for a particular tool that we sell, a bypass pruner, a forged one, three hits with the hammer take a straight piece of steel rod and turn it into the shape of either the hook side of the tool or the blade side of the tool. And so the worker puts it in the die and the hammer hits it and he turns it and it hits it and he turns it and it hits it one more time. And now we have the hook. Or we have the blade.
Okay.
The reason that we do that with the forging is because think of that straight, strong piece of steel, and now we've reshaped it into the hook or the blade.
Mm-hmm.
When we heat it up and then compress it using the hammer and get it to flow into that new shape, we don't lose any of the strength that we had in that straight piece of steel. It just reflows into the new shape, and when it hardens back up, it's still as hard and as strong as that steel rod was.
And everybody knows, you know, sharpen steel, and you can always sharpen steel.
Yes, exactly. So then in that forging process, of course, we're able to do, you know, good shapes so that you're getting the right angles and the right bevels and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're getting a nice clean cut when you're using the tool. So that's the forge tool. A stamp tool would be like a cookie cutter, right? So we've got this, you know, high grade steel plate.
It's flat. Okay.
And now the die is coming down and it's stamping out the shape of the blade and the hook.
Mm-hmm. And that's steel too?
And that is steel. Yeah, it's a high carbon steel. So it's a really good quality steel and very durable. But what's nice about a stamp tool is the stamping is a little bit thinner than a forged tool is.
Mm-hmm.
So because it's a little bit thinner, you're able to have a easier time cutting through a branch because there's not as much material trying to get through the branch when you make your cut.
Yeah, so that would be perfect. So for a home gardener, is there one for, you know, someone who doesn't do a lot of pruning, which type of, should we use, look for forged or stamped, which would be better for us?
All right, so this is kind of the way I describe it to users. When you're at the store, if possible, you want to touch and feel the tool.
Mm-hmm.
So a forged tool is going to be a little heavier in your hand because there's more material and it's just a thicker type of tool versus a stamp tool. So if you can get it out of the package, then you can touch it, feel it, try it, and see how it fits in your hand. The second thing I tell them is, well, how often are you out in the garden, and you know how much vegetation do you have, that type of thing. If, like in my case, I mainly just have rose bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have like 15 rose bushes at our house. So I don't have to be out there every day. So for me, a stamp tool will be great longevity wise, long lasting, all of that good stuff, because I don't use the tool that often.
Right.
I might like a forged tool, though, in the way it fits in my hand or feels in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I'm not out there as much, then a forged tool would even last me a longer period of time as far as being able to resharpen it and reuse it. I think at the Master Gardeners, I mentioned that I use my landscape person as an example of him using a forged tool and using a stamp tool.
Mm-hmm.
And so a stamp tool in his hand may only last around 3 to 6 months. And the example is he comes to my house and he does 10 houses on our street. And he's there for about an hour. So you figure, okay, so if he hits 10 houses an hour and he works 8 hours, that's 80 houses in a day times 5 days a week. That's 400 houses. He's out there making cuts, right? 400 houses. So a stamp tool is just not going to last as long.
Right.
So he really loves our forged bypass pruner. And, I know.
Good to know people in high places, right?
Yes. So he uses that tool. And again, because he is constantly using the tool, that forged tool is probably going to last him a good 2 to 5 years, depending on, you know, how he takes care of it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I noticed that on your tools you also have really nice comfortable handles, and I have small hands, so it's always, if I get a tool that's too big and I have to open it too wide, it's not comfortable for me. So it is a good rule. And I noticed, I mean, I've been out shopping a little more now, because now I know what I'm looking for, that a lot of the packaging has the handles that you can actually squeeze back and forth.
Exactly. So that is that's a new package that we developed and rolled out last year, and now it's rolling out throughout our entire line of product.
It makes so much sense.
Yeah, the handles are exposed. You can grab the tool off the shelf, off the hook, or out of the box, and you can actually try it. And if you like it, great. And if you don't, you just hang it back up. You don't have to open up the package or try to figure out how to get it out.
Take it out. Not good. So I want to get to the different types of pruning tools that we have. There's a bypass, annual, anvil, loppers, pruning saws, and hedge saw shears. So I know that when I'm using my cutters, there's a bypass and anvil cut. Those are the hand ones I use mostly for doing my pruning. So what are the differences between those two?
All right. So a bypass pruner gets its name because if you look at the tool, there's the hook and the blade. And when you squeeze the handles, the blade will bypass the hook.
So it makes a nice clean cut.
Nice clean cut. It bypasses blade is only sharpened and beveled on one side. The back side is flat, so it can just bypass that hook. And the tool, that tool is designed to be used on live green growth.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a really nice clean cut when you go through your branch. You want to make sure that when you're making that cut, that you do it at an angle. 45 degrees is really the best angle when you're making a cut through a branch.
Yeah, we were taught that we wanted to have the rain go right off it. We don't want it to puddle on the branch. So that's why you don't cut it flat. You always cut it on an angle.
Exactly.
That's good. So the anvil, when would I use that?
Okay, so an anvil,